College football.
Tennessee football. The weekly coaches meeting starts now.
This is Coach to Coach.
Tennessee gets past Vanderbilt Saturday. The fact that it was the least impressive performance of the season probably tells you more, Doug, about the 11 other games that the Vols have played.
Well, I think that's right. That and the fact that Vanderbilt, well, just quite frankly, a very poor football team, not really competitive. They're 0-8 in the Southeastern Conference. But yes, I think if you look at the whole 12 games,
it's a tremendous year. And I think from any aspect that you look at it, expectations coming into it, I mean, everybody was all over the board with it. But what we saw was consistency. We saw consistency this year in all aspects of it. We saw consistency from the head coach on down throughout his program. And to me, I think this is not only what you could ask for, this is even more than you expected.
Our lesson's coming up in 10 minutes. We began our series of weekly coaches meetings back in August talking about seismic changes in college football. Now, within hours of the regular season ending, those seismic changes are back again. Doug, why do you think Lincoln Riley left Oklahoma?
I think there were several things involved in that. I have no doubt that part of it, I don't think it was a big part, but I think part of it was the fact that Oklahoma was moving into the Southeastern Conference. I think that played a big part with him. From everything that I have heard from people that should know, he was certainly informed of it, but he wasn't part of that. And I don't think there's any doubt that he would have liked to have stayed in the Big 12. I think that was part of it. I don't think it was all because of the strength and toughness of the Southeastern Conference, although I do think that played a part of it. I mean, listen, Oklahoma is pretty well set on being 12-0, 11-1, maybe in a bad year, 10-2. Well, that's not going to happen with Oklahoma nor Texas, frankly, when they get into this league. But I think it maybe was the other part of it was because of the demise of the Big 12. He knew and saw that Oklahoma and Texas leaving the Big 12 wasn't going to be much. And I would say this, too. You have to put this in there, too. Listen, USC, Southern Cal, has a great tradition, and that is a great situation right now. So it was probably a plus-plus for him.
When you look at the compensation package that he was offered and that was finalized at USC, I've lived in Southern California. I know what they have to offer out there as far as a lot of amenities other than just living in a nice weather place. And to me, the package that he got, and at the right time too, USC, even though they have been, quote, down for a few years, they can dominate out there.
And what did their athletic director call them? A sleeping giant that is ready to rise again. You know, Riley dismissed the whole SEC thing, but I think if you look at it, guys, and you look at no other factor except where do I have the best chance to win a national championship, it's hard to argue that you don't have a better chance with Southern Cal than you do with Oklahoma in the SEC.
I think that's absolutely correct. And that is something, as I say, when you look at it even-handedly and you step back and look at it with no bias on either side of the thought process, USC can be a dominant player immediately. Oklahoma, coming into the Southeastern Conference, they're not going to be a dominant player immediately right now. USC should be and has been for a long time the top dog in the Pac-12. And they are going to get back on track with that. Here's what USC feels like. This was not only a good football hire, this was also a high-profile glamour hire. And so they've put everything into this. And you see USC, now they're trying to recapture the Pete Carroll glory days. And that's what they believe they've done.
Under the current format, the 14 format, I would agree that Southern Cal is a better job. However, we're going to get to a 12-team format pretty quickly. And then I think it's going to be a toss-up between the two, because there's likely at that point going to be 3 to 4 Southeastern Conference teams that are going to get in every year. So Oklahoma would certainly be in that mix. But right now, the current format, I don't think there's any question that Southern Cal has a much better opportunity than Oklahoma would coming in to the Southeastern Conference.
And, of course, there was angst among Tennessee fans when they heard the news. Oklahoma's coach leaves in a surprise move, ties to the Vols head coach. I guess some people, Doug, thought they'd seen this movie before.
Well, every Tennessee fan will go back to, 2009, when Lane Kiffin left for Southern Cal. A little different situation. Josh Heupel is an Oklahoma graduate. He's an Oklahoma star. He led that team. They've won 7 national championships. He was the quarterback for one of those. I'm sure there are some thoughts about that. I've got to know him fairly well. My guess is that he will stay at Tennessee because I think he really believes he can build a program there. And I think he also, because Danny White's his athletic director, I think that'll play a part in it too. But I've been around way too long to know. We've seen this happen before. Would it surprise me if he left for Tennessee, left Tennessee for Oklahoma? Yes. Would it shock me? Absolutely not.
Yeah, it would surprise me, though, because I think this is a different type of a situation. I don't know Josh Heupel personally, like Coach Matthews does. But I do know, Josh Heupel at one time was let go by the University of Oklahoma. There still might be a little sandpaper there. But to me, he has started something here that he can build a legacy on top in a place in Tennessee that has national prominence, just like Oklahoma does. It would surprise me if he left Tennessee after what he started as a foundation.
Talking about the getting fired deal, and there was no question he was fired by Bob Stoops. I don't know this for a fact, but I can tell you that 2 people have told me, one very close to Josh Heupel, the other very close to the Oklahoma situation. They flat told me that the only way Josh Heupel would ever go back to Oklahoma is if Bob Stoops was nowhere around. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but I can tell you this. Bob Stoops is going to be around. They just named him the interim coach for the championship game and the bowl game on that. So whether that's true or not, I don't know. But I'll say this. There's enough smoke there that there has to be some fire. Now, those things can get worked out. If he really wants to go there, I'm sure that he will go there. The other fact of it is, I don't know that he's going to be the first choice or even the second choice there. So that all that's Tennessee fan speculation more than anything.
Dave, why do you think Brian Kelly is leaving Notre Dame for LSU?
I think he's just about tapped out his time at Notre Dame in coaching. Sooner or later, and we got to admit this, you've got 2 coaches right here. Familiarity without a national championship breeds contempt because you get too familiar with what's going on. Here's the thing. He hasn't won a national championship at Notre Dame. He has been close. He's had a hard time getting into the playoffs because, he's not in a conference. And LSU is an ideal everything hotbed. Okay, he brings a cleaner image the LSU needs right now. Let's be honest about that. He's a good, experienced coach. And then he's got everything he wants. Look, he's been asking for, and I know this, he's been asking for an indoor facility in South Bend, Indiana for quite a while. In South Bend, Indiana, I would think that's not a ridiculous request, especially later in the year. He's not been able to get that done. I think it was just time. I think his time had tapped out for a lot of reasons at Notre Dame.
There were several reasons on this. One, he is number one in wins all time at Notre Dame, so where are you going to go above that? He'd been to do the college football playoffs 3 times and got soundly trounced, so he knows that, yes, we can get there, but am I going to have the ability to have the players to win there? Don't think he does. He's got nowhere to go but down. And then the university restrictions. And listen, I say this with admiration for Notre Dame because this is the way they are. They don't care who their head coach is. They're going to have restrictions on admissions. They're going to have restrictions, as Coach Mack just mentioned, on facilities. They're not going to build facilities like the top 10 programs in the country. And then I think the other part of it plays into it and will continue to play into it. They're not a member of a conference. So you don't have a conference championship to play for. Really, all you have to play for there is a national championship. And those are kind of scarce. Last one at Notre Dame, 1988. So wow. That's how long it's been.
All of these moves are going to make for a very interesting 6 weeks because the puzzle gets put together. Will big names see the chance to win it? Oklahoma or Notre Dame, will they see that as better than where they are right now?
Well, that's going to be the question. The way that Notre Dame has operated in the past, look who they've hired. They really haven't hired a since Lou Holtz, a big name guy. Kelly came from the University of Cincinnati, had great success there and a couple of other stops. But there's a lot of positives and very few negatives about hiring an established head coach. You know about that head coach. So my guess is Notre Dame is certainly looking at it. I think most people think that Luke Fickell, would be a natural there. He's raised in a Catholic education, done a wonderful job. He's a someone told me that in his coaching career, since he has graduated from college, he has spent 6 months outside the state of Ohio.
You ask, well, big names see the chance to win in Oklahoma better than where they are? I think where they are is going to make a big difference. You know, what they have going for them now, and especially the way this landscape is changing so rapidly in a lot of areas at head coaching, let's just start with the major compensation packages that are being put together. It's going to be interesting to me to see how big a name and how much money it takes. Coach Matthews just talked about Notre Dame. Notre Dame does things a certain way. They do things a certain way. Are they into what is going on in the arms race now across collegiate football in big-time football? Doesn't seem like they are into that. So to me, it's going to make a big difference as to where the people are that they are talking to rather than where they would be going, whether it be Notre Dame or Oklahoma.
One more possibility here, and I don't think this is going to happen, but there is this possibility because of the way that the landscape has changed. If Notre Dame decides that they're going to get more active in admissions, very difficult for them to take transfers in there. Transfer students, very difficult. Well, we're in an era now where you almost have to do that. If they are where they will look at building more facilities, football-oriented facilities, if they're willing to do that. And again, that's a big if. My guess is right now that's probably about slim and none. But without that, then they're going to have to rely on that reputation, which they've lived the last 150 years of college football off that.
You know, with all of these changes that we're talking about, I think we'd be remiss if we left this summation of the week in college football without saying something about what was an absolutely fun Saturday, the final Saturday of the regular season. Great football, emotion, intensity. It was a lot of fun.
I mean, you had Ohio State, Michigan playing, Alabama, Auburn playing. You had so many rivalries, and they were really good games. Really good games. And I think another thing it added to this, Mac, was the fact that last year nobody could go to games. I think it was kind of, you know, you saw all that emotion, both from the players. Listen, players want to play in front of people. And the fans also, I think that had a lot to it. But the big thing was there's a lot of really good football teams out there, more than I can ever recall. There are 35, 40 really good football teams out there, and a couple of better than really good, and I think that's what's made this year so good. And this final weekend, it was actually starting Thursday night with Mississippi State and Mississippi game. From then on, we saw some great football.
Well, just think about these rivalry games, and look, these rivalry games, they have names for a reason: Egg Bowl, Iron Bowl, Bedlam. You know, to me, this weekend from Thursday on was so intriguing to watch. I mean, I was really just transfixed in front of the television watching these games. That Auburn-Alabama game, going into it, you know, I was with a group of people and I said, you know, this Iron Bowl's always something different. And it was. I mean, then you look at that Bedlam game down there, Oklahoma State, Oklahoma. That was a real game. Michigan, Ohio State. Look, you had careers on the line, mostly at Michigan, over this game, and then to see the way it came out, and all you had to see was those 105,000 or however many, there'll be 300,000 people that'll say they were there. But everybody come onto that field, the emotion, the intensity, you could sense it through, if you're watching it on television, you could sense it through the airwaves watching it. I thought they were all fabulous. I really did. And here's what I say. For everything that everybody went through last year in COVID, as far as not getting the full experience of what collegiate football is, this last weekend was a wow.
Coach to Coach, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Plan on us. Visit FBHP.com, making health coverage easy. Farm Bureau Health Plans.
We all make plans. Big plans, little plans, plans to save, plans to walk the dog, plans for after work. Even plans for when our plans go wrong. It seems like we make plans for everything, except ourselves. At Farm Bureau Health Plans, you are the plan. Your health, your smile, your spring in your step, and your family. And that is the best plan of all. Farm Bureau Health Plans. Plan on us. Visit FBHP.com.
Inflationary increases in steel and shipping coupled with extended delivery times of 24 to 50 weeks along with increased costs and global supply shortages have caused problems in the forklift industry, but not at Forklift Systems. Making a huge investment in placing large stock orders just prior to the increases means a limited amount of forklift equipment at the old pricing for their customers. You can take advantage of Section 179 bonus depreciation tax deductions and lower pricing at ForkliftSystems.com. Forklift Systems.
It's just a few cocktails at happy hour.
There aren't any cops around.
After every game, we always have a few. It's no big deal.
It was just a few drinks. I'm good.
Hey, I can hold my liquor.
I drink and drive all the time.
If you put away some drinks, put away your keys. Fans don't let fans drive drunk. Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
Get the ultimate mouth guard with affordable coverage from Delta Dental of Tennessee. Offering a large network of dentists and a variety of plans, you'll get better coverage than a defensive secondary. Learn more at DeltaDentalTN.com.
We can see your smile, and we think you should be able to see it too. With Delta Dental of Tennessee and Delta Vision, we can improve your overall well-being by keeping your teeth and eyes healthy. Visit DeltaDentalTN.com to find an affordable plan.
We start the Tennessee Vanderbilt lessons with the play that seemed to ignite the Vols from Theo Jackson. Coach to coach, insured by Farm Bureau Health Plans, an interception for a touchdown, 55 yards.
We've always talked about zone defense for the Vols. This was a classic zone read. This was beautiful. You couldn't do it any better. I mean, they started extremely slow on offense, extremely slow. It was pretty lethargic there. And then here's what happens. The entire first quarter was really kind of slow motion. But Theo Jackson made a perfect zone read on a flat route. And he not only jumped the route, but his return for a touchdown, that really started igniting the juice as to what was going on in that game. But I know that we have talked before, and we've been critical about how good they are overall playing zone defense. That was a perfect classic zone jump read touchdown.
Heard him talk about that after the ball game, and they had run the same route to the other side, and he didn't get out underneath it. He knew it was coming again, and again, that's a 6-year player. You know, he's a COVID player, 6-year player. Just one quick thing about him. All conference teams are very hard to make up because you got 14 teams. That means you got 14 quarterbacks. There's a lot of people in the running for that. But I know this. I think he's been Tennessee's best defensive player from game one all the way through. Leadership, tackles for losses, things like Mac just talked about, and that was big on that. You know, at the same time, Tennessee only had one turnover. They really didn't have any turnovers. You know, when you have a turnover when you got the backups in at the end of the game, I don't count for that. They played error-free up to that point, played solid, not spectacular, but played solid. Defensively, didn't do a whole lot, lined up and played offensively. They did what they did, and that's what this game called for, and it was executed, I thought, really very well by both sides of the ball.
You know, all coaches talk about protecting the ball. Let me tell you what you really do about that. That has to be regularly explained and worked on in practice and meetings. You also have to impose consequences for repeat offenders if they're turning the ball over. But ball carriers have to be able to have 5 points of contact on the ball. I mean, we've got a former running back in the league sitting right here, coach running backs in the league. That's what you start with. You know, moving into contact, you've got to have that, protect the ball. And then quarterbacks have to understand when the ball is in your hands, it's your ball until you do something untoward with it. I mean, you've got to work on that, but that has to be part of your DNA as a program and also as a player. Don't turn the ball over.
One thing on fumbles, and I'm a big proponent and believer in this. You can have pass interceptions. All right, when you throw the ball, tip ball, a lot of things can happen. There's no reason to fumble the ball. And let me tell you, we've talked so much about how these fast-paced offenses have made defenses line up and play better. Because of all the work by defensive coaches, in practice stripping the ball. These your running backs have learned to hold on to the ball much better. Most of the fumbles you see right now, quite frankly, in all of college football, they come from a quarterback getting sacked or maybe running and hold the ball a little bit loose, or a receiver once he catches the ball. You see very few fumbles now when a running back or a wide receiver gets that ball high and tight. And it's because in practice, they, as you know, Mac, the defensive coaches, were every drill you see them trying to strip that ball, they're holding on to the ball better. And we've seen a reduction in the number of fumbles. Still have pass interceptions. You don't have many fumbles in the ballgame now that aren't generated by a pass rush.
Let's break down the end of the half Hail Mary and how the Vols played that day.
They let the quarterback escape, first of all, from the cylinder to his throwing hand. So now he's going to be able to buy time and let the route get all the way to the end zone. He can now step into it and launch the throw. And it was a classic example exactly of how not to defend it. It really was. Starting with that, the quarterback escapes to his throwing hand, a lot of time to sit and get ready to launch. And then the coverage in the back end was executed exactly opposite of what you need to do. I mean, it really was. You didn't box out the receivers, no front defender underneath the receivers. All defenders down there, three of them, went up behind the receiver, who's a big, long, tall receiver anyway. I mean, it was exactly how you don't do it.
Couple of things here. Number one, it was poor coaching. Number one, it was poor coaching from a technique standpoint. It was a poor play call by the defense coordinator. And really, it started the play before, when there were less than 20 seconds, and Vanderbilt was out of timeouts. And they let, and I say let, yeah, Vanderbilt did it, they let him throw an out route for about 18 yards and get out of bounds to stop the clock. Clock would have stopped, yes, with a first and 10, but it would have started immediately after that. So that's number one. And the second thing is exactly what Max said. And this is one thing that I see that defensive coaches do not do. When you know there's going to be a throw into the end zone, there was no doubt where that ball was going to go. It was going to go into the end zone. You never let the quarterback get out of the pocket where he could set his feet and launch. So you rush everybody from outside. If he wants to step up in the pocket, fine. If he wants to run, fine. We'll get him on the ground. So this was very poor coaching, very poor technique. The other thing that you're going to do, if you know you're going to do that, you put your big wide receivers in the game to knock the ball down. So it was certainly not Coach Banks' finest hour.
The Vols knew that was not going to cost them the game. They knew that. I knew that watching it. I think everybody else that watched it, too. It was embarrassing because you directly knew exactly what they were going to do. And so I'm sure they talked about that in the locker room. But then two plays into the second half, all right, Tillman makes a big play. The Hail Mary's forgotten. The touchdown is it. And to me, that was the game. Once Tillman made that big play and separated the score like they did with that play, then the Hail Mary was forgotten. It was an embarrassing moment. And as I said, everybody that knows football and knows the matchup of these two teams personnel-wise knew that was not going to cost the Vols the game. And so to me, Tillman's play completely erased that as far as any consequence on the ball game, and that gave him the juice to go on the second half.
Cedric Tillman has developed so much, but you look at him now, how much he has improved, and you have to give him a lot of credit. You got to give Kobe Banks, his wide receiver coach, a lot of credit. He has become an excellent route runner. He is a big target, and he is being targeted more and more. He can catch the ball and run with it. Doesn't have great speed, but he has speed to be able to get behind. He has really played very, very well. From Tennessee's viewpoint, hopefully he decides to come back. He's got another year if he wants to, and if he does, I think he'll be, if not the best receiver in the Southeastern Conference, one of them.
Cedric Tillman has not only become a complete receiver, routes, catch, run combo, he also is a physical presence to an opponent's secondary. Vandy had no one that could match him, speed-wise, athletically, or physically. Vandy had no answer for him. I mean, unless they wanted to designate, they'd have to have three guys on him, one over the top, one inside, one outside. Then if they could have played three-on-one, if they could play a triangle on him, maybe. But they had no answer for him.
Tennessee was going to throw the ball to him a lot anyway. They target him. He, with 170 yards, would become a 1,000-yard receiver, which is a big, big deal. So they were going to target him anyway. But like Max said, they had a guy out there about my size on him and probably ran about as fast as I do. I was surprised he didn't catch more. Offensive line, I really thought played one of their better games when you consider they had two starters out. Their whole right side was out. The right tackle, Cade Mays, and the right guard, Spraggins, was out. They played, Ollie Lane came in, Jackson Lampley came in, Dane Davis came in, all guys that played a little bit, and they kind of worked them in those two spots, guard and tackle, and really got a lot of playing time out of them. I think this bodes very well because all three of those guys showed that they can be players. Hey, they're not as good as Spraggins. They're not as good as Cade Mays, but I think they showed that they can hold their own, certainly against an opponent like Vanderbilt.
Yeah, well, that's behind the offensive line, and they did a nice job. I thought Wright and Small were productive running the ball. Both running backs did a nice job of making decisive cuts. They took block yardage, which they had, and then physically at the second and third levels, they were running very hard and running forward. Vanderbilt was going to wear down eventually, and the run game made that happen.
All right, let's go back to the playbook blackboard for a second. Vols defense, Dave, some issues with getting a play stopped in the middle, but then a guy bounces outside.
All right, listen to this coaching point right now and let it sink in. It's pretty simple. If you're a force player, I don't care whether you're coming from the defensive front, whether you're coming from a linebacker, whether you're coming from a secondary. Keep your outside arm and leg free. Let's start with that. Keep your outside arm and leg free. And building a wall defensively always begins and ends with setting an edge and forcing the ball into the greatest number of defenders that you have. The smallest number of defenders that you have on any play is to the outside of the formation. The greatest number of defenders you have is to the inside of the formation. Vols, I thought, played their gaps inside very, very well. But the edges were not disciplined enough. And you saw it time and time again. This has been an issue this year. And again, I will go back to the coaching point. Keep your outside arm and leg free. If you're going to build a wall, you can't have a wall without setting an edge.
Technique on this, pretty darn simple, and Coach Mack hit it right there. If you're a zone football team, coverage team, and this is the way that has always been taught and a good way to do it. If you're responsible for the flat in zone coverage, then you're also responsible for any run play that comes outside. And bottom line, and Mack is exactly right, didn't have problems the whole year, but the last half of the year, Tennessee had a bunch of problems on this. If you're responsible for contain or leverage, whatever you want to call it, force, I think is what a lot of them call it today. If you're responsible for that, if that ball gets outside of you, I don't care what the reason is, you're wrong. You're going to get a zero on the play. We don't ask you to make the play. If you can make it, great. Turn that ball in. There's one of you outside. There's 10 of those other guys inside. Turn them back inside. And again, Tennessee, their fits in that area was not very good. Mack hit it right on the head. Inside, the four inside linemen and the two linebackers, so those six players, their fits all year long were pretty darn good. That's why few teams had very much success running the ball in there. But outside, their fits were not good all year. They had two guys running through the gap, two guys running through the outside gap. Wasn't very good. Spring practice, that's going to have to be corrected.
Coach to Coach.
With Doug Matthews and Dave McGinnis.
Insured by Farm Bureau Health Plans.
Hardcore.
Football talk.
Get the ultimate mouth guard with affordable coverage from Delta Dental of Tennessee. Offering a large network of dentists and a variety of plans, you'll get better coverage than a defensive secondary. Learn more at DeltaDentalTN.com.
We can see your smile, and we think you should be able to see it too. With Delta Dental of Tennessee and Delta Vision, we can improve your overall well-being by keeping your teeth and eyes healthy. Visit DeltaDentalTN.com to find an affordable plan.
Are you suffering from bad gift-giving? Look for the signs. Do people avoid eye contact when opening your gifts? When your friends say, you really shouldn't have, do they really mean you really shouldn't have? On more than one occasion, have you been re-gifted the same gift you gifted that person the year before? If so, the new Holiday Instant Games from the Tennessee Lottery might be right for you. Available now at your local retailer. The Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly. Side effects include invitations to more parties and less awkward looks at gift exchanges.
And now, a moment of silence to remember our dear friend.
Sorry. Oh, man. Life can be uncomfortable. Your home doesn't have to be. With air conditioners, furnaces, and heat pumps installed by a Rheem Pro partner, you can feel comfortable even when you can't be comfortable.
Ah, jeez. Really?
Trust the expert installation and service of your local Rheem Pro partner. Visit RheemProPartnersTN.com to find one near you.
When you get to be my age, you've seen just about everything. But the one thing I plan on never seeing is out-of-pocket expenses that Medicare doesn't pay for. And with Medicare supplement coverage from Farm Bureau Health Plans, I'll never be out of network, so I can use the doctor I want to choose. So if you're turning 65 and have questions about Medicare supplement plans, dental, vision, or prescription drug coverage, talk to a representative today or visit us at FBHP.com. Farm Bureau Health Plans. Plan on us.
So championship weekend is here in college football, led by the SEC title game in Atlanta. Can Alabama find a way against the Georgia defense? This is Coach to Coach, presented by Delta Dental. It's the best scoring defense since the 86 Oklahoma Sooners. As you break down film, Dave McGinnis, where could Alabama make some hay with their offense?
The major strength of the Georgia defense is their front seven, which in reality is really their front 13. All right, they are extremely deep and talented here. Their secondary is very average. They're not elite and have benefited from three-plus chains. And when I say three-plus chains, I'm talking about third and seven-plus in a lot of instances throughout all year. All right? Alabama has to find a way to win the chain game on first and second down. Then they have to be able to max protect, find some explosives through the air. That's what has to happen. But it's a chain game. The only way that you're going to be able to crack this defense, you've got to win first and second down to give yourself a chance on third down.
There's no doubt Georgia is going to come into this game as the favorite because of that defense. I mean, they've played eight Southeastern Conference opponents this year. Half of them, exactly four of the eight, have scored a touchdown or less in a ball game. Those are Southeastern Conference opponents. The most they've given up, Tennessee scored 17 on them. The other three scored 13, 13, and 10. So they are very good. But here's the thing. Every single player that will be playing for Alabama, all right, not talking about on the team, on the sideline, but every single player that's going to be playing from Alabama, guess what? They've been through a national championship last year. They went through the Auburn game, 97-yard drive with little time and won the ball game. Alabama will come into this game believing they can win. And if they can protect the passing game, I don't think they're going to be able to run the football very much. Robinson's out. With him out, that's going to be tough. The score's going to dictate what they're going to do, obviously. But if they can protect the quarterback, they have a great chance. But I don't know anybody in the coaching profession, Mac, that's going to think that Alabama is not going to come into this game believing that they can win.
Well, because they have won before, and they've been in big contests. But the protection of Bryce Young, that's going to be a concern. Because it's not only with four-man pressure, but when Georgia gets you, as I said, into those third and seven-plus areas, you get five-man pressure, you get six-man pressure. And Alabama's offensive line is not as strong man for man as Georgia's front is, too deep. Okay. Max Pro, move the pocket. Some of that has to come into play. And again, I'm going to go back to what I said about first and second down. It's imperative that they put Georgia in conflict situations and not put the offense in third and chains.
Coach Saban has an offensive and defensive staff meeting. Got them all together the morning of the ball game. And that's when he kind of talks about what he sees the game doing. There's no doubt in my mind that offensively he's going to say this: hey, be patient, execute the game plan. Georgia's not likely to score a high number of points. It's probably not going to be a shootout. So just execute the game plan, and then if game situations change, then we'll change. And I think that's exactly what they'll do offensively.
The critique all year about Georgia's offense has been, yeah, but what about against Alabama? So here we are. Georgia, five different backs over 200 yards rushing. Doug, the offense starts there.
Well, it does. And what makes them so good is this. Number one, they believe in this offense. They are not a pedal to the metal four wide receiver, one running back, spread them out, zone blocking. That's not what they are, and they believe in it. They've had 450 rushes to 302 passes. So they're going to run the ball 60% of the time. In their SEC games, it was even more than that. They have a big physical offensive line. They can play two and or three tight ends with an H-back. They've been playing with the lead, and if they're playing with the lead, you're going to see them hammer that ball. And Larry, as you mentioned, they got a mixture of backs. Listen to this. White, Cook, and McIntosh are their three leaders. White averages just 10 carries a game. He carries about 10 times a game. Cook, 8. McIntosh, 5. And then they got a few others in there. So even though they're running the ball 40 times or so a ball game, their backs are fresh when they come in there. And all of them bring just a little bit different look. One's a little bit more physical. That's White. Cook, physical but can run. And then McIntosh is a speedster. So they got that offensive running game figured out, and I think that'll be the feature of this offense.
Yeah, and you can sum all of that up in just one statement. That's Georgia's DNA. That's been theirs from the start, and that's theirs right now. That coupled with every finite detail that Coach Matthews has just said, that's why the run game's so good. They believe in it. That's how they live.
Now, Alabama, what their front, number one, Alabama's giving up 81 yards per game. That's really, really good. 32% on third down, so they're getting off the field. And they have two players. Will Anderson is the best outside linebacker that rushes most of the time in the country. And Henry To'oto'o have become, those are two leading rushers. They're all over the field. And again, they know their defense. They know how to play. And physical offenses are something they enjoy playing against. With that said, I think Georgia is a better football team. But again, nobody's going to be surprised if Alabama wins this thing.
Power run game from Georgia. But Alabama's defense, as Coach is talking about, has been stout against the run this season. They rank second in the nation at 2.4 yards per carry. That's strong. We talked about setting the edge earlier in this program. The strength is in their outside linebackers. Will Anderson, Dallas Turner, they're elite at setting the edge. Deep interior rotation. Fidarian Mathis, Byron Young, Justin Ibogi, LeBrian Ray, DJ Dale, and Tim Smith at the nose. And their linebackers, Christian Harris and Henry To'oto'o, both of those guys are space players. They can run and erase the edges.
So what about Stetson Bennett against this Alabama secondary?
Time and space are going to determine the ability of Stetson Bennett to push the ball down the field. Advantage, chain management is a major factor here. Okay, look, 3rd and 7 plus, he's got problems. They've got problems in protection, and that's where it all starts, all right? Here's what they need to do. Get it manageable on 3rd down. Make quick throws. That's got to be quick throws, quick decisions. You're not going to have time to stand back there. So here's where Stetson Bennett can help. The guy understands spacing, but to be able to take advantage of spacing, you got to have manageable 3rd downs.
I think Alabama defensively, their structure, their scheme, it really is exactly what you need to do to beat a team like Georgia. Number one, let's don't forget, Georgia's top two or three receivers have missed the whole year. Their best receivers, their leading receivers, the one that catches the ball the most, are actually tied in. So Alabama loves to play man coverage. They love to pressure the running game, try to get you in that 3rd and long, and I think that's going to be the key. If they can shut down the run game or at least control it, what do we know that Georgia wants to do? They want to run the ball and then throw play action pass. Well, if you can't run the ball, then you can't run play action pass on that. I think you're going to see one safety high, a physical press man coverage by the secondary. That's how they're going to get after them. Will they blitz a lot? I don't think they'll really pressure a lot, Dave, because when you pressure and a run game pops, you got a big run. But I do think they're going to use a lot of plus one that have that. So they're going to have 8 guys up there close to that line of scrimmage because they know, too, if you let them, Georgia will run the ball every play. And certainly Alabama, Nick Saban, smart enough to know that he can't let that happen.
And then there's this, and I know that you coaches, you don't like to talk about this stuff, even these two guys we got here by the table. But what about this whole issue of momentum? What about the we can't win the big game? What about the Kirby Smart won't make the decision at the key point in the game? Coaches don't like to talk about those things, but aren't they truly in the air?
Well, look, perception in major ball by the masses becomes reality only if you internally let it creep in. And the game that you're playing is what matters now. And that's where your focus and concentration is for these two opponents. That's where your concentration is. The rest of that stuff is like elevator music. It really is. I mean, it has no bearing on where the elevator goes up and down. It's just there. And it's not what has happened in the past. This, more than anything else, you're playing a now game. And so to me, it's out there, but internally, it doesn't even touch you.
Momentum is what happened the last play, not what happened the last game, the games before. I hear this a lot about Kirby Smart, and I hear it a lot about Georgia. Let's just go back and think, though. Georgia, coached by Kirby Smart, has lost because of the opponent. Mainly, it's been Alabama. They get beat in the conference championship game. Nice to get there. Or they get beat in the college football playoff. They've lost a game or two to Clemson, another national champion. So it's the fact of the matter is those teams, they're better. And they made big plays by special players. Remember Tua to Smith in the overtime game, you know, had a national championship right there. It's as simple as that. The reason coaches don't even listen to that garbage is because they know it's not true.
Strategy, alignment, technique.
Real football.
Football. Your coaches are in session. Delta Dental's Coach to Coach.
When you get to be my age, you've seen just about everything. But the one thing I plan on never seeing is out-of-pocket expenses that Medicare doesn't pay for. And with Medicare supplement coverage from Farm Bureau Health Plans, I'll never be out of network, so I can use the doctor I want to choose. So if you're turning 65 and have questions about Medicare supplement plans, dental, vision, or prescription drug coverage, talk to a representative today. Or visit us at FBHP.com. Farm Bureau Health Plans. Plan on us.
It's just a few cocktails at happy hour.
There aren't any cops around.
After every game, we always have a few. It's no big deal.
It was just a few drinks. I'm good.
Hey, I can hold my liquor.
I drink and drive all the time.
If you put away some drinks, put away your keys. Fans don't let fans drive drunk. Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
Inflationary increases in steel and shipping, coupled with extended delivery times of 24 to 50 weeks, along with increased costs and global supply shortages, have caused problems in the forklift industry. But not at Forklift Systems. Making a huge investment in placing large stock orders just prior to the increases means a limited amount of forklift equipment at the old pricing for their customers. You can take advantage of Section 179 bonus depreciation tax deductions and lower pricing at ForkliftSystems.com. Forklift Systems.
This past year has brought us all serious lifestyle adjustments. It's also introduced and reintroduced many to the great outdoors. Whether it be fishing, hunting, boating, or watching wildlife, many Tennesseans chose to social distance and spend time with family and friends outside. Many purchased a license to hunt or fish for the very first time. Get your ticket to outdoor adventure at GoOutdoorsTennessee.com.
Tells you what kind of week it has been when it's taken us this long to talk about Florida's new football coach. Coach to Coach, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Billy Napier comes to Gainesville with the reputation, Doug, as a recruiter.
Well, he has it, and one of the reasons is he worked and learned from two of the very best head coaches. Nick Saban, number one, worked for him. They also worked for Dabo Swinney. Both those guys are relentless, relentless recruiters. 42 years old. If you've listened to him talk much, and a lot of people haven't because, you know, Louisiana sits down there. Used to be Louisiana Lafayette, the old Raging Cajuns, big basketball program for years. He's had three straight 10-plus win seasons down there. Waited, and he has an opportunity, and I think Florida fans are going to be excited about it. He knows he recruits the Southeastern Conference. That's where he gets all these players out of. Recruits Florida very, very well. And he's a quality guy. I know several guys that have been assistant coaches with him, and they are extremely high on him.
Napier, his reputation, Ed, he's always been a passionate recruiter and a detail-oriented CEO type. And that makes a difference, especially when you're going into the really big time. He's coached in South Carolina. He's coached in Alabama. He's coached in Florida. He coached in Louisiana. He's got a great relationship with the high school coaches. Coach has already mentioned he's coached under Saban and Sweeney. And he, look, he's built a program from the ground up at Louisiana. He's built a program. And plus, he's an offensive-minded coach. This guy has all the requisites that you were looking for, and especially as an antithesis to what you just were with.
I think that's a big thing. And by the way, he was a defense coordinator at Arizona State, so he's gone up against a lot of those throw the ball all around. He's the exact opposite of Dan Mullen. He doesn't call plays. He lets a play caller call offense and defense. He's into the ball game. Again, an outstanding recruiter, and that's the one thing that was the big knock on Dan Mullen.
Speaking of recruiting, Doug Matthews, Josh Heupel on the plane Sunday, starting that work right after the Vanderbilt game.
Well, that he will be there, and all of his coaches will be there. They'll be out, come back for recruiting weekends, coming back in. This time of year, you live in a, hopefully a private plane if you're at one of the better universities. I worked in all levels. I drove, never did ride a bus, but felt like I probably needed to. But these coaches, you got to be ready to change. You may be at one place recruiting. You get a call from a recruiting coordinator saying, hey, we've got a plane picking you up, need for you to go somewhere else. You're going to be eating on the plane a lot of fast food, a lot of junk food. There'll be a lot of weight gain. There's no time to work out. You don't sleep a whole lot. You don't see your family a whole lot. And you got 3 weeks of it because that national signing date, that first national signing date is December 15th. That's right around the corner.
The head coach in this day and age of collegiate football has to be involved daily in some capacity. To be an excellent closer, you need intimate knowledge of every recruit. You can't just come in and be filled in on the way to the house who this kid is, what he likes, why we like him, why he might like us. It can't just be a canned presentation either. It's got to be personal. It's got to be passionate. And for that to happen, you have to be dialed in every day on each individual recruit in some capacity to go out and close it.
This weekend, the Volunteer State crowns champions in Chattanooga as the high school football season coming to a close. Doug, how do you see Josh Heupel following through on his statement that he made when he was hired, that the Vols have to keep the best talent in Tennessee in Tennessee?
He's got a couple of really good things going for him. Let's assume, which I think will happen, but let's assume that he stays at Tennessee. He would be telling every one of these young men that he is recruiting, hey, I stayed here for a reason. I stayed here because I believe that we can get in the championship mix, and you are one of the players that will help get us there. Now, the goal is for the 2023 class, not this 2022 class. And here's why. Because of COVID, because of him getting in late, because of him not working, a lot of those kids have committed somewhere else. Now, is there a chance that one or two of them could flip? Yes, but probably not. So it's the 2023 class that he's looking at. I believe that he will put a huge amount of emphasis on this state. He has said it to me more than once, starting with Middle Tennessee and working out. But make no mistake about this. Tennessee is locked in for this recruiting year and next recruiting year in bringing in somewhere between 8 and 12 transfers. So they're going to get in that transfer portal pretty heavy. As we do this show today, in the last week, there have been right around 250 players hit that portal already. There'll probably be another dozen or so today. So his recruiting is going to be, yes, 2023 high school players. They got 15 high school players committed. I think they'll sign most of those for the 2022 class. But he's now recruiting 2023 and transfer portal players for next year.
The coaches return to the huddle in minutes.
Coach to coach, insured by Farm Bureau Health Plans.
Hardcore football talk.
When you get to be my age, you've seen just about everything. But the one thing I plan on never seeing is out-of-pocket expenses that Medicare doesn't pay for. And with Medicare supplement coverage from Farm Bureau Health Plans, I'll never be out of network, so I can use the doctor I want to choose. So if you're turning 65 and have questions about Medicare supplement plans, dental, vision, or prescription drug coverage, talk to a representative today or visit us at fbhp.com. Farm Bureau Health Plans. Plan on us.
Attention Cash 3 and Cash 4 players. Crazy fun is here with the addition of Wild Ball. Here's how it works. Start by adding Wild Ball to your next play. The Wild Ball number is drawn following every Cash 3 and Cash 4 drawing. It can be used to replace any number that is drawn by the lottery, giving you more winning combinations. So add Wild Ball to your Cash 3 and Cash 4 plays today. And remember, the Wild Ball replaces a number drawn by the lottery, not a number on your ticket. The Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
Get the ultimate mouth guard with affordable coverage from Delta Dental of Tennessee. Offering a large network of dentists and a variety of plans, you'll get better coverage than a defensive secondary. Learn more at DeltaDentalTN.com.
We can see your smile, and we think you should be able to see it too. With Delta Dental of Tennessee and Delta Vision, we can improve your overall well-being by keeping your teeth and eyes healthy. Visit DeltaDentalTN.com to find an affordable plan.
It's just a few cocktails at happy hour.
There aren't any cops around.
After every game, we always have a few. It's no big deal.
It was just a few drinks. I'm good.
Hey, I can hold my liquor.
I drink and drive all the time.
If you put away some drinks, put away your keys. Fans don't let fans drive drunk. Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
Will it be hard to get the Cowboys or the Wolverines refocused for Championship Saturday? Let's put that to our coaches. Two big wins, but Dave, two big opportunities to take a conference title.
Winning a big game gets you the opportunity to advance and play a bigger game. The head coach and the staff, I mean, I don't think they have a problem getting their players refocused, but they've got to get their players back to center. And what I mean by that, we all saw the celebrations after those wins, and rightfully so. But you've got to bring your players back to center focus immediately once all of the hoopla has worn down. Here's what you do. You get in the film room. You make corrections because there's always corrections to be made. You eliminate distractions purposefully, and then you focus on the big chance ahead, and then you start to prepare just as you've prepared all year. Your preparation all year and focus all year has been good, and it has gotten you to this big game. Keep that in motion.
Well, these two ball games, they're so similar. Both the Coach Gundy and Coach Harbaugh are going to be saying, guys, that was a huge win last week. But guess what? We lose today, the air goes out of that balloon.
Is there a guy or two defensively that you say, gosh, this is somebody who really improved during the season? I can't wait to see him in the off-season program.
Absolutely, and both of them play their juniors, third-year players. One's been there 3 years, the other transferred in. Jeremy Banks, who had a really good year from where he started, both on and off the field, by the way. Byron Young, who came in from junior college. Game by game, we saw them getting more confidence. In the last few ball games, they were confident. They were outstanding tacklers. They have another year. They're going to get stronger in the weight room. And I think both of these young men have an opportunity next year to be two of the very best that Tennessee's had at those positions. They're quick. They're physical. Banks was a running back coming in, and he's really learned to play that linebacker position. I think both these young men, I'm excited to see what they're going to be doing in the offseason because they're going to get bigger, going to get a little bit more physical, and they're going to get a little bit smarter.
Coach to Coach, insured by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Visit FBHP.com, making health coverage easy. Farm Bureau Health Plans. Plan on us.
Next week, we take a look at the season lessons. Where does the Vols football program stand? Where does it need to improve? And we'll talk bowls, too. For Doug Matthews and Dave McGinnis, I'm Larry Stone.